So it works out quite well for the summer kollel that we're learning the parak of Reb Elazar de Mila, which discusses the sugyas of Bris Mila. And today is the Yahrzeit of Yosef Tzadik, which of course he was keneged. He is keneged the mitzvah Bris Mila. So I felt it was an appropriate topic to discuss. We're up to the sugya of Sudas Bris Mila, and how these things all connect. The inyan of Sudas Bris Mila, how it connects the Kedushas of Bris and Yosef HaTzadik. So the Gemara teaches us in Daf Kuf Lamed, there are two sets of sources here. I have the ones, the guys in the Kol have a more extensive one, and those here just for this year have the abridged version. But if you look at the abridged version, number one, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Tanya, Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed, the Braisa teaches that Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, the Kol Mitzvah Shekibla Aleim B'Simcha Kegon Mila, any mitzvah that was performed initially, the moment that we first performed the mitzvah, the initiation of the mitzvah, if that mitzvah was done b'simcha, so then k'dechsev sasa nochi al masecha k'motzi shel rav, that's referring to Bris Mila. So then adayin osin osa b'simcha. And since, as we'll see, Rashi says, shosin mishta, that when Bris Mila was initially performed, and we'll see Tosis in just a moment, that it was performed with a simcha, with mishta, so we continue to celebrate such a mitzvah with a simcha, with mishta as well. And just to bring the contrast, v'chol mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'ktata, any mitzvah that was brought into Am Yisrael through fighting, kigon arayos, it says in the pasuk, v'yishma moshes am bachal mishpachos of al iskei, mishpachos of, they're fighting about all the new halachas of arayos, that they couldn't marry relatives of theirs. So since it was initially accepted, b'ktata, adai nosin nosa b'ktata, still every time there's a marriage, there's always fighting that takes place, which of course is a very important lesson. Deleka ksuba, delo rama batigra. There is no such thing as a chuppah, a wedding, a ksuba, that doesn't have a fight. The Rav Yosef Engel points out, that's why there's a mitzvah to fast for a chasam on the day of the wedding, in order to undo any ktata, any fighting that might take place. Our focus, however, is going to be on the mitzvahs that were performed b'simcha, sasa nochi al mesecha, the Bris Mila. Rashi says, how do we see that it was accepted b'simcha? Because they made a mishta. Who made a mishta? Tosas writes, b'medjish, he quotes in Lamed Tzeach, number 3 here, al ha-shminis. It says, al ha-mila shi b'shmin. It's a drasha on the 8th day, the mila, that's Lamed Tzeach, al ha-shminis. And it says, Vayas Avram Mishta Gadol B'yom Higamel Az Yitzchak B'yom HaGimel, on the 3rd day. And he says, no, it really means HaGimel is the gematria of 8. So Mal Az Yitzchak Dainu B'yom HaShmini D'mila K'minin HaGimel. We see that Tosas is also the gematrias. So HaGimel is 8. So they made a Mishta the 8th day, the Yom of the Bris Mila of Yitzchak. Some say there's an Indian to make on the 3rd day as well. A Suda exists in some of the poskim. But this is a source that we celebrate a Bris Mila with a Mishta. So what level of requirement is this Bris Mila, this Mishta and a Bris Mila? So the Shari Tshuva brings down a Machlokas. According to some, it's a mitzvah deraisa. They think that this source of the Mishta is a deraisa source. And others, he quotes from the Tshuva's Beis Yaakov, that this is only mitzvah midirabana. And yet there's a third opinion, which is the understanding of a Shulchan Aruch, that it's only a minhag. The language of the Shulchan Aruch in Yardaya Hilchas Mila is Noagim Lasos Su'uda B'yom HaMila. There's a minhag. So we have a three-way machlokas, whether the Mishta or the Su'uda is a deraisa, if it's a derabanan, or if it's simply a minhag. We see the Shulchan Aruch as L'shitasa, that he calls a Mishta only a minhag, because the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchas Sukkah the following din. Let's say a person is celebrating Sheva Brachos. We know you can't get married on Sukkot. It's Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. But let's say you get married Erev Sukkot, or any day within the week of Sukkot. So that means Sheva Brachos will take place on Sukkot. So now, most people don't have a room to host a whole Sheva Brachos in their Sukkah. So what are you supposed to do? So Shulchan Aruch says, so you could go to a hall. You don't need a Sukkah. You could eat outside to Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sheva Brachos. When it comes to, however, through this Bris Mila, the Rama says, that has to take place in a Sukkah. So how come? You invite people to a Mila, so you invite people to Sheva Brachos, so either both should be outside the Sukkah, or both should be inside the Sukkah. So the Magen Rambam says the reason is because a Mishta of a Sheva Brachos is a din deraisa. It's a real simchas chasam v'kala. You need to invite as many people as you want, so you can even be docha sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah of the suda shevra. But a bris milah is only a minug ba'alma, and you could get a shevra, to get a bris milah with 10 people, get a minyan, and most people could squeeze a minyan in the sukkah, and therefore to get more people to come to the suda, which is at best a minhag, you don't need to, you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah. But what we see clearly is the Shulchan Aruch assumes that this suda is only a minhag. So what's a machlokas? How do we understand the machlokas, whether it's a deraisa, whether it's a derabanan, or whether it's a minhag? So I believe the understanding is, if we go to a sugya in Gemara Ksubas, Daf Ches Amin Aleph, Gemara tells us that one time Rav Chaviva was visiting a, went to a bris milah. And at the bris milah, they said, she'a simcha b'ma'ono. Like we say at a shavar brachos, they had said this at a bris milah, she'a simcha b'ma'ono. And the Gemara says, we don't assume this way. We do not say she'a simcha b'ma'ono, because islay tsara dianuka. The child is going through a surgery. The pain of the child, you cannot say she'a simcha b'ma'ono. So what does that mean now? You could understand the Gemara saying that there is no simcha at all by a bris milah. Or you could understand that there's simcha, just not the same level of simcha as there is as a chasana, but there is some level of a simcha taking place here. So there are a number of nafkaminas, whether or not bris milah has simcha attached to it or does not have simcha attached to it. The Gemara we just saw said sasanochi. It calls it a simcha, it calls it a mishta. How much simcha is there really? So, a few nafkaminas. We know that the halacha, the practice of the Svardim, based on the Rambam and the Gra and Minog Eretz Yisrael, is to recite a Shechayanu at a bris milah. The Minog of the Ashkenazim and Chutzlart is not to say Shechayanu. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim. So what's a machlokas, whether one should say a Shechayanu at a bris milah or not say Shechayanu at a bris milah? So there are a couple of ways. I'm going to just stick to one approach right now. L'chorah, it's telling on whether or not there's simcha at a bris milah or not. If there is simcha, so then it deserves a shechayanu. That's the Gra, that's the Rambam, that's the Svardim. If, however, you assume that there is no simcha, or at least not a high enough level of simcha by a bris milah, so then there would not be a shechayanu, which is the practice of the Ashkenazim. What about an avil? Can an avil attend a sudas bris milah or not? So the Ritva, he quotes from some Chachmei Sarfat, he says that they assume that an avil is allowed to partake in the Sudas Bris Milah because there's no simcha. They say, well, if there is no simcha b'ma'on at a Bris Milah, so that means there's no simcha and an avil is allowed to attend such a Bris Milah. But the Ritva comes back and says that's not the case. Ritva says that there is simcha at a Bris Milah, which means that an avil may not attend a Sudas Bris Milah. The meal itself that takes place in the shul, that everyone agrees you're allowed to, an avil is allowed to attend the Bris Milah. But the Suda that follows, that machlokas depends on whether or not there in fact is simcha with respect to the Suda or not. There's a fascinating discussion in Tosos Demoi Katan. I don't know if those who got to see this just yet. We know, I mentioned before, Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha. You can't mix together two simchas, which means you can't get married on a Chol HaMoed or Yontif. So there are many of different occasions. Recently someone had asked me the following question in terms of this question. They were making Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and they wanted to also make a Siyim on a Masechta that they were learning. Now as a side point, the Masechta they were learning was Masechas Tamid. Masechas Tamid is a very short Masechta, and a couple years ago, here in the shul, we learned together. As a kehila, we learned Tamid in 5-6 days, and we made a Siyim, a 9-day Siyim. We had a barbecue, a very, very nice thing. So someone had emailed me, are you allowed to make a Siyim on Masechas Tamid? Is it considered a Masechta b'fnei atmo? What's the question? Because you learn, those who are during Daf Yomi, you're going to see this very soon. When you get to Masechas Me'ila, so after Masechas Me'ila, the Daf continues to count into Kinim. It doesn't change the Daf Beis. Kinim's the next Masechta. And then it goes to Tamid, and then it goes to Midos. All four Masechtas are really counted as one in terms of Daf Yomi cycle. It starts from Daf Beis in Me'ila and finishes, maybe it's, I don't remember which Daf, maybe Lamed Dalet or something in Masechtas Midos. It carries through four different Masechtas. So he wanted to know whether Tamid is considered an independent Masechta or not. And the answer is it is considered an independent masechta. Those who want to make a seam during the 9 days, it's a very simple masechta to go through in a few days, and you can make a seam and have a barbecue. So either way, the person had asked me, can you make a seam at a hachnasa sefer Torah? Is that a problem of ein marvin simcha b'simcha? And the answer is, it's not a problem, because it's the same simcha. It's a simcha of limud Torah. Finishing a hachnasa sefer Torah, making a seam in a masechta, it's all the same. In fact, the Sde Chabad had a similar question: how were the Chacham able to make Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres? Simchas Torah is not a din in the Torah. Shmini Atzeres is. The Torah says you should be mesameach on the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres. How could the Chacham make Simchas Torah on top of it? Because Shmini Atzeres, without getting too involved, is a special time where all the Umos Olam leave. It's just us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the house alone. And since the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael and Torah are all one and the same, that the celebration Shmini Atzeres is celebrating our relationship, which is the Torah. So therefore, Simchas Torah is not a stira, it's the same exact simcha as Shmini Atzeres. However, yeah. Why can you? It's a great question. You'd have to probably say that at that point there's no simcha just yet. It's before the simcha, before the chasana. That would probably be my guess, but it's a very good question. I'm not sure. So now, regarding this question of can you have a bris mila on Chol HaMoed? That's a very strange question. But the two answers Tosfos gives is, number one is, of course you can, because there's no simcha by bris mila. It's not a problem. Ein marvin simcha v'simcha. Now, the other answer is more obvious to us, because it's the eighth day. You have no choice. V'yom HaShemini. The Tosfos says, since it says B'yom HaShemini, even though there is Simcha by the Bris Mila, B'yom HaShemini is able to docha the problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Granted, very good. So I should be clear in my question. The Bris Mila Vade takes place on Chol HaMoed or Yontif. The question is, can you also have the Suda as well? So he says, of course you can have the Suda, because there's no Simcha. But then he says, no, there is Simcha, but even the Suda is attached to the Bris Mila, and you have to do them together. So it's Bayom HaShemini Afilu B'Sudas. Now, Eitan pointed out very well before, during Seder, so perhaps an Afkamina would be Mila Shelo B'Zmano. A Mila Shelo B'Zmano, let's say it's the 10th day of the child. So would that be able to be Docha Chol HaMoed? Can you make a Sudas Bris Mila of a Mila Shelo B'Zmano on Chol HaMoed or Yontif? Well, certainly you can't do it on Yontif, because you can't do a Bris Shlob is Manon Yantif. So you do it in Chol HaMoed. So can you have the Suda as well? So if you assume that there's Simcha by the Suda, so then you wouldn't be able to be Docha anymore, because it's only by Yom HaShemini is Docha, the Suda is Docha, but not Shlob is Manon. But if you assume that a Suda's Bris Mila has no Simcha, so then you'd be able to do it whenever you want. You could have it just fine on Chol HaMoed. The only problem with that is, the Pesachei Tshuva writes that there is no inyan of a Suda on a Mila Shelo B'Zmano. Only a Mila B'Zmano is there a mitzvah, because the Pasuk says, V'yom hi gamel, hey gimel is 8. But Shelo B'Zmano, there is no mitzvah of Sudas Bris Mila. That's discussed, whether that's true or not, but that's the understanding of the Shari Tshuva. So one of the interesting questions that always comes up, people have the practice of not inviting people to a Suda. Is there such a basis for not inviting people? We just let people know. It's kind of like, you know, when Amir Lakum, you don't want to tell the guy to do something, that's a violation of Amir Lakum. So you hinted to them that, you know, it's very dark in here, and they hopefully take the hint. So you don't want to tell anyone that we're inviting you to the Bris Mila. I'm just letting you know that there's a Bris Mila on so-and-so day in this place at this time. Is there any basis to such a concept of not inviting people? So in fact, there is. There is such a concept. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that there's 7 people who are menudin l'shamayim, who are considered excommunicated from the perspective of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and one of them is a person who does not partake in a Chabura Shel Mitzvah. What's a Chabura Shel Mitzvah? Tosa says the example is, the prime example it's referring to is a Bris Mila. If a person does not partake in a Sudas Bris Mila, he's considered Menuda L'Shemayim. And Ramah actually brings this down the Halacha, that such a person, records some of the details of such a Suda. And he says, the practice is to make sure there's a minute at the Suda, and anyone who doesn't, V'chol mi she'eino ochel b'sudas mila, havi kemenuda l'shemayim. So if you invite someone and he refuses to come, it's in violation of this concept of menuda l'shemayim. Then he has a qualification. Now this is a challenging one. It's only true if people who are mehuganim there, people who are roy to sit down with a meal. But if you know people who are, I don't call them rishayim, but people who are not of the highest standard, so then you don't have to go to such a suda. So I'm not figuring out who is mehuganim, who's not. But either way, there's such a concept that we don't invite people, because if they refuse to come, they may be in violation of this concept. So unclear. So the practice is not to invite them at all, because then there's a certain pressure that they should partake in this. Now, if they're onus, they have a job, they're out of the country, so seemingly it wouldn't apply, but we don't want to put anyone in that circumstance anyways, we don't invite across the board. No. So firstly, the language of the Ramah, he says it is called the Sudas Mitzvah. He says Mikre Sudas Mitzvah. This is number. So it may be not necessarily, because even the Shulchan Aruch would call this a Sudas Mitzvah. Just questions what the level of Minog their Rabbanan and their Isa, but it might still qualify as a Sudas Mitzvah. So now, what should be served at a Sudas Bris Milah? The Chachmas Adam writes in a very strong language from the Gra that Misha Efshir Lo Laso Suda. The person has the wherewithal to make a Suda, and a very lavish Suda, let's say, Umikamets, and he holds back, he's Kamitz, he closes his hands, his money, his wallet. Veino no sein rak coffee or yayin tsaraf, he just serves some coffee and some schnapps, and we need Masika, some little sweets, I don't know, jelly beans or something. Lo yofe ose. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, was very against this. He would reprimand such individuals. If the person couldn't afford it, so you do what you can. But if a person could afford it and just serve some coffee and tea and schnapps, he was very against this. This should be a chashuv meal, a very chashuv meal. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down, and we know he's always more compassionate to the Balabatim from where he lived. The Aruch HaShulchan says in his Medina, Me'atim heim she'osim suda. Only a few people would actually make a suda. They have a little bris milah, and they go home, and that was it. You know, I mentioned this just yesterday, how my youngest son, he saw a mayor, we had his bris milah on Shabbos at my parents' house during Hurricane Sandy. So a few people who were around were able to come, but there was no electricity throughout Teaneck. My parents had a generator. So we had a very small bris milah, small suda, and vizehu, that was it. It was a European-style type of bris milah. So that's what Aruch HaShulchan says. Back in Europe, few people would actually serve a suda at the bris milah. Rak ochlin ktas mine misika. It's just some raglach they put out, and that's all. But explained because it was because of the anias, the poverty, and the difficulty of parnasa that they had such a practice. But even he would agree, those who do have the wherewithal should make some type of a suda. I'm not saying to get like a whole party planner and the works. We're gonna get fleshish. We didn't get there. But in terms of it should be something chashuv. So what's considered chashuv? So let's talk about bread first before we talk about basar. Should there be bread served at such a meal? So the Divrei Yotzev, he writes that it depends on why we have bread on Shabbos and Yom Tov first. So explained, on Shabbos we have bread because we know the man didn't fall, so we have Shtei Lechem, it says Yom Yom three times in the Pasuk. So that's why we have bread. The Gemara on Shabbos teaches us this. That's why we have Lechem on Shabbos. Why do we have Lechem on Yontif? So there's machlokis in the Rishonim. One opinion says we learn Yontif from Shabbos, a direct connection. Yontif is a type of Shabbos, Shabbos is a type of Yontif. So that passes through. Tosin Beit Sadat Beis Min Beis talks about the man also didn't fall on Yontif as well. That's 2 days in the Medrash. So one area is Yontif is like Shabbos. The other explanation is that because there's Simcha on Yontif, and whenever there's Simcha, you have to have a Suda with Pas, with bread. So is it, again, is Yontif, we have Pas on Yontif because it's like Shabbos, or because the Simcha is Yontif? The Nafka Mini explains is a Bris Milah. A Bris Milah perhaps has Simcha, but certainly not learned from Shabbos. So if the source of bread on Yontif is based on Shabbos, that's not even Shaykh by a Bris Milah. You don't need to have bread. But if the source of Pas, the reason why we have bread on Yontif is because the Simcha is Yontif, So then there's Yesh Lachkor. Well, is there Simcha by Bris Milah or not? So this would be another Nafkamina. If you assume that there is Simcha, in fact, at a Bris Milah, so then you should serve bread. But if you assume that there is no Simcha at a Bris Milah, so then one should not serve bread. Now that leads into the next question, what about Fleishik? What about Basar? So the Magen Avraham writes that, and the Machzor Shekel explains based on this concept as well, that since we know Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, that the only time a person can really happy enjoy a Simcha on Yantif is B'Basar, so then you could say the same thing by a Bris Milah. And this the Poskim discuss, that if you assume that there's Simcha by Bris Milah, so then you would say Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar. Just like there's no Simcha without meat on Yantif, you would say the same exact thing when it comes to a Bris Milah. But if you assume that there is no Simcha at a Bris Milah, so then you would not have to serve Fleishik, so you could serve a Milchik. Yes. Right. So it could be that the Bris Milah itself has a certain level of Simcha. The real question is not that there's zero Simcha, but the question is how much Simcha is there? Because it's Tzar D'Yanuka, which balances the Sasanochi, that element. So at what point are we going to push it closer to Tzar D'Yanuka? It's less Simcha, or it's closer to Sasanochi? So these questions trying to navigate how much Simcha there's going to be. But as you said, it's hard to say that there's zero Simcha, but is there enough Simcha to warrant Basar? Is there enough Simcha to warrant a Shechianu to exclude an Avel? That's really the question of what level of Simcha there is. So now in terms of Basar, there is a question of amongst the poskim, what qualifies as basar? Fish, chicken, meat. So they discuss all these different dinim. But what many poskim say that since you're learning Ein Simcha El B'Basar from Yantif, and that was by the Karban Shlamim, that the way they would enjoy their Simcha on Yantif would be Karban Shlamim, which was a basar behema. So then, Bismillah, you should also serve fleishiks of that of a basar of a behema. That's what some poskim say. Others say, of course, you have to take into account finances. It's very expensive. You know, someone asked why we didn't have fleishiks this morning. If I told you the bill for a few bagels, I wonder what the bill would be for, a few pieces of steak. So either way, you have to take into account the different ability to pay for these things. But it sounds like me'ikir din that one should taka serve basar. It's a good question. Chesky is referring to a Gemara that says when a person uses his money for Shabbos and Yantif and the Mishvurad Rosh Chodesh and things of the like, Tez Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't come part of your annual guaranteed money from Rosh Hashanah. Those are extra. So a person can spend all he wants on Shabbos and Yantif if you really have bitachon, it doesn't count. And the Gemara says also to support children learning as well, that's not part of the Cheshbon. I actually once tried that with my parents. It didn't go over so well. But the Gemara does say it, that any money spent on raising, having children learn in Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. So Chesky wants to know, does that apply to Sudas Mitzvah, such as Bris Milah? I don't recall it being discussed in the Mishnah Berurah. It's something worthwhile looking into, though.
Let's say finances are not a factor, but more the fact that people don't want to eat steak.
Very good. So some posts can say, for that reason, the practice in many places, it's breakfast. No one eats fleishiks breakfast, and therefore you want people to enjoy the Suda, people to eat the Suda, so that would be a basis for serving milchiks at a Bris Milah. Now again, there's only one opinion, not everyone holds this way, that you have to serve basar, but it does exist. Now, I've never seen it, yeah. So that wouldn't be a reason. There's actually, the Maram Shik had a similar question. We mentioned before the Ramah said you should have a minin at a Bris Milah, at least a minin. So let's say you couldn't have a minin, an early, at 7 o'clock in the morning. But you live in a place where it's July 4th, people waking up to a 9 o'clock minin. So is it better to delay the Bris Milah to Mekayim the Suda of a minin, or to do it earlier? So the question is Rizus versus the Hidr of the Suda. So this is actually came up recently. We learned by Rabbi Malikin in the afternoon, should a person light Neiros Chanukah Bizmana Shkiyas Achama, Zrizus, or should you wait later on where there's more Pisum and Nisa? So this is a question that's discussed, Zrizus versus a Hidr Mitzvah, which is greater? Another question they talk about, let's say a person's in jail, and he's got one day off, you go out, do whatever you want. So which day should he choose? Should he choose the next day to go chap a minyan and daven with tzibur and kriyas Torah? Or should he wait till Rosh Hashanah to hear the shofar or Megillah to hear, Purim to hear Megillah? So that's a debate. Is the zrizis more important or is the hiddur more important? So this would be the similar question. Is it better to do bezrizis, where you have to serve milchiks, let's say, or to do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where you could perhaps serve fleishiks? So it would seem that the practice is that zrizis, at least by the bris milah, is overriding. And that's most likely because zrizis, the source of zrizim makdim lemitzos, is from bris milah, and therefore we should stick to that. It's actually interesting on that zrizis point. There's an interesting Meiri. I mentioned to a couple of guys the other day, when the Meiri is talking about we learn zrizim makdim lemitzvos from Avram when he performed the Bismillah to Vayashkim Avram Aboker. And the Miri says, what's the inyan? It's lechos bedarchei ha'avos, to follow the midos of the avos. Not that it's a din in Zrizis. Zrizis has nothing to do with the mitzvah. But since Avram did the mitzvah in such a way, we should do exactly what he did. It's being lechos bedarchei ha'avos. So when we do the Bismillah, there's a special inyan of following the same exact way and pattern that Avram himself performed the mitzvah bris milah. So this is all the simple pshat of why one would have a suda at a bris milah, and perhaps bas as well, depending on whether there's simcha or not at the suda's bris milah. There is another explanation of why one may serve or should serve a suda and basar at a bris milah. If you take a look, this is inside number 4, the Marmakomos, and those who have the more expanded version, number 19, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bechai. In Kada Kemach, he writes in Hilchos Milah as follows. Mitzvah Hamila ke'ein karbon. Shu oda makriva pribitno l'chavad Hashem Yisbarach l'kai mitzvah. When a person is being makriv his child, he's shechting his child to a certain extent. There's a karbon that's taking place. It's a mesiras nefesh of his own child, so it has a din of a karbon. Like the blood of a carbon is mechaper, you sprinkle it onto the mizbeach. Kach dam hamila mechaper, so blood of mila is also mechaper. V'lachein ikra mila b'yom ches, it's on the 8th day. Like the carbon, you can only bring an animal after 8 days, a past of the animal being born. M'yom hashmini v'hola, it says in the Yirat, says the pasuk. Uchshem shekosu b'carbon, just like it says by the carbon. V'achlo osama shekufar behem. When the Kohanim eat the carbon, the achilas carbon mechaper, eating the carbon is a kapara. V'chein ha-minag b'Yisrael she'osin suda b'yom ha-mila. So too, when you eat at the bris milah, the suda bris milah is connected to eating the carbon for a carbon. And u'masasfin ha-kol, everyone's invited. U'ban sham u'minag kashur. It's a very, very good minag, says Rabbeinu Bechai. And on this, Rav Menashe Klein writes in Mishnah Lachos, in Chelik Yudalad, Simen Reish Ayin Beis, that's why, just like a carbon was of a basar, so too one should serve basar at a bris milah. Now this connection of bris milah to a carbon have other parallels as well. Ma writes that we practice this to only have one sandik per family. You don't repeat the same sandik. Sfardim don't have this practice. Only the Ramah brings this down. But the Ashkenazim, we only use one sandik per family. So you use the first Zaydi for one child, the next Zaydi for another child, but you never repeat it. Why? Ramah says because came in the base of Migdash, we said when it comes to the Ketores had a certain segula of Ashiris. When the Kohen performed the Ketores, he had wealth. It was a segula for wealth. You want to share the wealth. So why is it fair that the same Kohen gets to do a Ketores over and over again, so we have to share the Chadashim? Which means the new Kohanim, who never have done Ketores in the past, only they are allowed to enter the Goral to perform the Ketores. So you see, this is yet another connection of a Bris Milah to that which takes place in the Beis HaMikdash. There is one other connection, I believe, to the Suda and the Bris Milah. And that connects very much to today's Yartar, to Yosef Tzadik, and to what we said this morning as well in Hallel, that we know when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Ma Raha Yam, what did the Yamsuf see that caused it to split? Arono Shel Yosef. Arono Shel Yosef, when it saw the Yamsuf saw the Arono Shel Yosef, it split. It did a Kriyas Yamsuf when it saw Yosef at Tzadik. We also know that Nachshon Ben Aminadab was the one who caused it to split. So there are two personalities, two great tzaddikim that caused the Yamsuf to split. One was Yosef at Tzadik, and one was Nachshon Ben Aminadab. So what's the inyan? You look in this. This is the last Mar Makom. This is number 5 on these sheets. And the Amir Emes writes that in Mitzrayim there were two averos that Klal Yisrael was terribly immersed in. One was arayos, and one was lashon hara. Things having to do with the mouth, lashon hara, even perhaps eating. And the allusion to this, the pasuk tells us that asher lo yadas Yosef, when Paro didn't know Yosef, it means he didn't know Yosef in terms of the shmiras abris of Yosef Atzala. When he entered into Mitzrayim, which is called Ervas Haaretz, the Indian of Arayos became an issue for Klal Yisrael. Asher lo yadas Yosef, they didn't know Yosef, who was the epitome, who represented the Kedushas Abris. And also there is the galus of the Peh. The Zohar tells us that when it says Sagar Lehem HaMidbar, that the Midbar closed on them, it means the Midabar, the Koach HaPeh, the ability to speak, was in galus. So the Peh was in galus, as was the Indian of Arayos. These two were the struggles of Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And now both Yosef and Nachshon represented each of these averos. The tikkunim of each of them was Yosef and Nachshon, respectively. And the splitting of Yamsuf was a representation of breaking free from those averos, those two averos. That's why the Rambam explains when we split for the Yamsuf, we sang a shira. It was a celebration of getting the dibor back, the ability to sing, the ability to speak, the ability to use the mouth properly. And that's Yosef and Nachshon, who comes from Yehuda, and David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And these are the two of the taivas that people struggle with nowadays, which is the Kedushas Abris, and that's Kedushas the Lashon. So that's what's going on here, perhaps, that the Bris Milah, of course, is a tikkun of the Os Bris Kodesh, Shmiras Abris, that's Yosef Tzadik, and the Suda is the tikkun of the Peh, the eating, the ability to speak and how to use the mouth properly. So even though we know Kivas HaTaiva, when they asked for basar, they got punished, that's because they weren't asking for it properly, they weren't ready to eat the basar. But when a person eats basar in the context of a Sudas Mitzvah, so then a person like Nachshon Ben Aminadav is able to jump into the ocean, into the water, into that mabul, is able to elevate even that which is basar and to bring it to a whole other level. So this explains another interesting thing. If it's true, Yosef's connected to Bris, Os Bris Kodesh, and Nachshon's connected the Peh, the ability to eat properly, so we understand something else that the Ishbetzer explains as Rav Tzadok. When it comes to when the Slav came and Klal Yisrael ended up dying, the Pasuk says, HaBasar Odenu Beinishineihem, Terem Yikares, that the mouth, the meat was stuck between the teeth, Ve'ach Hashem Chor Behem, Ba'am, HaKadosh Baruch got angry them, Ve'yach Hashem Ba'am, Makir Rabbim Od. And at this event, at the Kivras HaTaiva, so then there was a big Makir Rabbah, Klal Yisrael was punished. So Ishbetzer asks, I don't understand. He says, it should say Amrav, a large part of the nation was killed at Kibbutz HaTaiva. What do you mean Makir Rabbah? Makir Rabbah sounds like there's one big death that took place, one death. So Ishbetzer says, it must be referring to Nachshon ben Aminadav. There was one tzaddik that died at that point. Rav Tzadok says this as well. Rav Tzadok says there is no makor for this, but he heard from an Ish Neman that Makir Rabbah is referring to Nachshon ben Aminadav. Why is that the case? Because Nachshon represented the ability to fight the Taiva's Basar. And at Kibbutz HaTaiva, where they did not have that ability of Taiva's Basar, so then they lost this great leader of theirs, this great tzaddik of theirs, who represented that idea. And we know, of course, all Yetzirah goes back to the Nachash, which Nachshon represents the Nachash, as his name indicates. And Rav Tzadok writes, the Vav and Nun at the end of Nachshon, a Vav and Nun always represents being machked in something, minimizing something. So Nachshon was taking the koch of the Nachash and minimizing with the Vav and Nun, making it smaller, really minimizing that taiva. And this as well, it makes sense because the word Nachash, the Gemara tells us that Nachash's ability to be mazik, the Gemara in Mabakama tells us that there's the eres bein shinav, that there's the venom between the teeth, that bein shineim, that the basa bein shineim, the Nachash also has the bein shineim. And in particular, it's the letter ches and nun ches shin. So the nun and shin on the sides is shein, that's the teeth. And the ches on the inside, that's the chet. So the chet, which also is the shape of two fangs of the snake. So the shein, bein shineim, what's bein the teeth? The teeth on the outside? It's the ches, it's the chet that's inside. The nachash represents the chet. And therefore, Bein Shineim, the Basar is Bein Shineim because it represents the chait that was stuck between the teeth. When a person looks for the Basar, Mikach HaTaiva, that's the Indian of Kivish HaTaiva. But Nachshon has the ability to makpin that, to make that smaller, to undo that. And that's why Yom HaShmini, Bris Milah, takes place in Yom Ches as well, Keneged, the Os Ches, which represents chait. So in the Zechus of this, we should, in the Zechus of the Yartzeit of Yosef HaTzadik, we should all be Zoche to overcome these two great taivas of the Shmiras, the Bris Kodesh, and the Shmiras HaLashon, and we should be Zoche to seeing both Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David.